ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And here we go. His year again. Rory is a rare repeat winner at Augusta.
What's better than one green jacket? Two, obviously. After completing the career Grand Slam in 2025 by winning the one trophy that had eluded him, Rory McIlroy has gone back-to-back at the Masters. It was a wire-to-wire win for the Northern Irishman, but that doesn't tell you the half of it. A rollercoaster Sunday saw McIlroy's six-shot lead heading into the weekend evaporate into a two-stroke deficit with a dozen holes to play. It's another legacy win for Rory, and who's to say that he's done with two? I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily. Nicholas, Faldo, Woods, and now McIlroy, the only men to go back-to-back at the Masters. Andrew Beaton writes for the Wall Street Journal he walked Augusta National this week and was there to see Rory join some of the titans of the game. Andrew, let's start at the end. Take us to the 18th when Rory clinched a second green jacket. What was it like?
Well, Rory McIlroy does not make anything easy. He goes into the final hole with a two-stroke lead, and all he has to do is avoid disaster to become the fourth player ever to win back-to-back Masters. And what does he do? He flirts with complete and total disaster.
Uh-oh.
This is trouble.
Uh-oh.
This could be extremely dangerous depending on where this ends up.
He sends his drive completely to the right. He doesn't know if he's going to even have a swing on the ball. And in Rory McIlroy fashion, disaster was on the table. All he needed to do was avoid a double bogey, and he managed to do just that with a bogey on the final hole. And when he looked up and screamed after tapping in the final putt, it might have just been as much relief as it was total jubilation.
Last year, after putting in on 18, he collapsed. There were tears of joy. It was joy today, but it was also maybe disbelief that he had made things so hard for himself. His parents were there. It was a roller coaster Sunday. How did you judge that reaction after he knew he'd won?
Well, I think he talked openly about how he felt less of a burden this time around, because last year he wasn't just trying to win the Masters for the first time. He was trying to win the career Grand Slam.
I thought it was so difficult to win last year because of trying to win the Masters and the Grand Slam. And then this year I realized it's just really difficult to win the Masters.
And when he won, it was this kind of double whammy, something he'd been chasing for over a decade. And 2-1, he ends this major drought, he wins the Masters, and boom, one fell swoop. And this year he was kind of unburdened. He talked about that, but he also talked about how after winning the Masters last year, he struggled a bit with motivation. And then all of a sudden he races out to this historic six-stroke lead after 36 holes. Then he struggles on Saturday, struggles out of the gate on Sunday.
Oh my goodness. Disaster for McIlroy at the fourth. Three putts from 5 feet leads to a double bogey. And now Cam Young has a two-shot lead at the Masters.
And you know what? Once again, even when things looked really rocky, he steeled himself and came out on top.
It did get really tight and tense and complex today. There were half a dozen names on the scoreboard that were sort of sliding and rising. How valuable do you think last year was for Rory when that temperature was dialed up?
I think he was super valuable, and I think what was also really valuable for him was he talked about how over the last few weeks he's played this course over and over again, and he even joked that it felt like his home course.
This place feels like my home course. I haven't played anywhere else in the last 2 or 3 weeks, really.
And so throughout the week, even when we saw him struggle off the tee in the first couple rounds, he was almost playing like a wily veteran who understood what to do around the course. And you don't think wily veteran when you think Rory McIlroy. You think about the guy who hits the ball 340 yards and just demolishes a course.
Wow. His short game has been something. I mean, it saved him. His driving's not been what we're used to, his usual standard, but his short game has been 10 out of 10 this week.
This was someone who didn't have his A game off the tee and still managed to win because he navigated the course like just a total pro, like someone who really knew the ins and outs of Augusta National.
He talked in Butler Cabin and in the press conference afterwards about being a kid with a dream. He had to take a moment to realize what he'd done with his family there as well.
My mom and dad, they weren't here last year to celebrate with us, and
Surprisingly, I had to convince them to come this year because they thought that the reason that I won was because they weren't here. Glad that we proved that wrong. But Mum and Dad, I owe everything to you.
So he now has six majors. That places him equal 12th alongside Mickelson and Faldo. He's one of only six to complete that career Grand Slam that you talked about. He did that 12 months ago. Where do you think McIlroy ranks on the all-time list, Andrew?
I think the answer is to be determined because he already has a case. He's in the discussion as the greatest European player ever already. But keep in mind, he's only in his mid-30s and he's won Masters in back-to-back years. And so are we thinking this is it for McIlroy or this is him just really getting started on a second act of major runs? And I think the latter is much more likely. And so I think we're better going to be able to answer that question in 5-10 years when we see, does Rory McIlroy have double-digit major wins?
And by the way, he's going to be the fourth golfer in the last 40 years to lead or co-lead after every round of the Masters.
I don't think that's some guarantee, but is it on the table? It'd be crazy to say it's not.
And then what about the emotion there? So you touched on it a little bit, but we're all watching through the TV, hanging on every moment. You're there at Augusta. Did you get a sense close up as to, you know, what it really meant to go back to back?
Yeah, I think it felt almost like surreal to him. You know, he was talking about how during the victory ceremony last year, he said his goal was to be putting on the green jacket himself.
My parting message last year was, I can't wait to come back next year and put the green jacket on myself. I wasn't quite correct because the chairman did it, but I did want to come back here and prove last year wasn't a fluke.
And so I think it's just a sort of surreal experience for him because you go from spending your entire career wanting to win the Masters and being unable to do it to going to winning it twice in a row. Like, this was the big bugaboo of his career. It wasn't just a major drought. It was that he had a game that seemed like it was built to conquer Augusta National. And 16 times in a row, he failed to do it. And then twice in a row, he does it.
And it was Amen Corner where he really shot back into contention after being two shots down. Suddenly he was in the lead. What did you see as the most crucial shot or hole for him in that path to victory?
You know, when he stuck that tee shot on the par three.
Oh, wow. He was on the right side of that bunker. What a beautiful kick to the right. Two daring shots by the final duo.
It was just a brilliant, brilliant shot. He talked about reading the wind on the hole. He knew exactly what type of swing to take. You know, you think about Rory McIlroy, you're expecting his best shots to be a booming drive that gives him an easy wedge. No, he was the person who stuck a shot within 7 feet, and that was the closest shot on that hole all day. And then he drains the putt.
Birdie for Rory. Momentarily, two in front.
And how many times have there been times when we watch Rory McIlroy over the course of his career and say, ah, he would have been a major champion if he just hit a few more putts. That's a putt that if you give yourself that shot, you have to make that putt. And it's only 7 feet. You know, a player like Rory expects to make it, but you still don't hit a 7-foot putt nearly every time. And so I would say even more so than the shot off the tee box, him hitting that putt was really what showed it to me.
You mentioned the preparation, not playing tournaments in the lead up, taking his daughter Poppy to school.
I did a couple of days where I dropped Poppy to school, flew up here, played, landed back home and had dinner with her.
Have we seen a shift in perspective, maybe a new sort of selflessness from Rory over these last 12, 13 months?
Yeah, I think so. I think he is showing that, you know, he's not the brash young kid that once burst his way onto the scene. He's starting to learn more and more what it takes to win these types of events. And he's fallen short enough times that he probably has some battle scars, and it's forced him into learning what you have to do to win at majors, because it came so naturally to him when he was young that he probably didn't have to hone all the nuances and all the skills because he was just that talented. Well, especially these days, there are a lot of people who are extraordinarily talented. And so for him, I think what we're seeing is just this growth, this evolution that he's now combining the same skill that he has always had. It's not like he's lost power on his drives like a pitcher who's lost his fastball or something, but this is someone who is now combining all the skills that he's always had with the knowledge and the experience that come with both a lot of triumphs and a lot of failures.
Can't believe I waited 17 years to get one green jacket, and you know, I get two in a row. It's just sort of the way. I don't know. I think all of my perseverance at this golf tournament over the years has really started to pay off.
It also felt like a Ryder Cup at one point. You had McIlroy, Rose, Hatton, even Lowry was there at stages, and then you had the Americans, Young, Scheffler, Henley. It was a bit of a battle. Who was the hard luck story for you?
You know, ultimately the person who came closest was Scotty. You know, he was one stroke back, and there's just a lot of shots both yesterday and today where it's just like, ooh, he was millimeters away from going even lower. And so is it a hard luck story? No. But Scottie Scheffler was one shot off the lead in the end, but it somehow felt he was even closer with that between Rory's flirting with disaster on the final hole. But also, Scottie had a lot of close calls that didn't seem to go his way.
To move into a tie for second.
Oh, a most improbable birdie.
We wondered last year if getting one for Rory might mean more. We've talked about it a little bit. That has been proven right. Is there a ceiling for Rory at Augusta? Could you see three in a row?
He said before this tournament that he felt like he had about 10 more good shots at this. And that sounds about right to me. I mean, you saw Justin Rose almost win this at 45. You know, Jack won at 46. Why doesn't he have another decade to be a serious competitor here?
Yeah, I said it at the start of the weekend here. I felt like the Grand Slam was the destination, and I realized it wasn't. You know, and I'm on this journey to, I don't know, I've just won my sixth major, and I feel like I'm in a really good spot with my game and my body, and, you know, I still have things that I want to achieve.
And so does that mean he'll definitely win another? No, but is there somebody who, after what he's shown over the last 2 years, you think is a definitively better bet year in and year out? I mean, it's him and Scottie Scheffler right now when it comes to Augusta.
It is super late on Sunday night in Augusta. So Andrew Beaton from the Wall Street Journal, we thank you for sparing some time and taking us to that historic day for Rory McIlroy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Headlines. While the greens were fast at Augusta, the Australian sprinters were next level rapid at the Australian Athletics Championships across the weekend in Sydney. The man of the moment, Gout Gout, put the world on notice, running a blistering 19.67 in the 200-metre final.
Gout's in front. He's coming away now for Murphy. Can he be as quick as this morning? Oh, incredible. Oh, he has absolutely done what everybody thought he might, but he's done it at 18 years of age. The world will be shaking.
To give you an idea, that was the Australian 200-metre record, the world under 20 200-metre record. It makes him the 16th fastest man in history over the distance and faster than Usain Bolt at the same age. Yup, the lid is off. 24 hours earlier, Lachie Kennedy ran sub-10 seconds on consecutive nights in the 100 metres. The 22-year-old stopped the clock at 9.96 for his first national crown.
Kennedy clearly in front. Browning's having a really good run. How quick is it for Lachie? It's very, very quick again. It's 9.97. It may come down. It may come down to 9.96. It is spectacular.
And for a feel-good story, head to the ABC Sports socials to hear the women's 100-metre winner, Georgia Harris, talk about dealing with epilepsy in her sprint training. AFL, and there's a he said, she said brewing after Port Adelaide skipper Zach Butters was reported for abusing an umpire in the final game of Gather Round. He says he was very polite with no foul language used, while it's been reported that umpire Nick Foote says he allegedly questioned his integrity. Curiously, the umpire's microphone audio is unavailable. The unpredictable nature of the NRL season continues with the Titans putting 50 on the Eels on Sunday afternoon and the Tigers winning form continuing. So it means that besides the Panthers in first, the NRL ladder looks kind of upside down with the Tigers, Warriors and Cowboys rounding out the top four, followed by the Bunnies and the Knights. Add to that, the Storm and the Raiders are in the bottom five. Good luck, tipsters. And the Matildas had a 5-0 win over Malawi on Sunday. The Australians did it pretty easy against the number 153 ranked side in the world, with Sam Kerr on the score sheet alongside debutante Letitia McKenna. I'm Declan Byrne. This is ABC Sport Daily. Thanks to Fox and Channel 7 for the extra audio used in today's episode.